Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I want to welcome you to day 12 of our 21-day Make Room Prayer Fast, our prayer and devotional call. We're entering the final week of our journey next week, and I pray you're still leaning in, still pressing in, and still making room for God. Last week, our focus was make room in us, where we dealt with what needed to be removed. We cleansed our hearts. We cast off our weights. We crushed the roots of our idols. We gained a clear path and we consecrated our lives to God. This week, our theme has been make room for Him. We've been focusing on recentering our lives on God's presence, God's word, and God's will. We learned to pause and be still. We committed to a lifestyle of prayer. We moved into praise, choosing to magnify God's greatness over our circumstances. And yesterday we talked about practice, getting creative and doing what the word tells us to do. And now here we are at a critical point in our journey. What happens after the initial push? What happens when the energy from the first few days wears off? What happens when you've done all the work? You've cleansed, you've cast, you've crushed, you've practiced, and you don't see an immediate result. That's where our word for today comes in. Today's word is persist. Persist. Wouldn't it be great if life just matched your effort? If every prayer you prayed was answered immediately, every seed you sowed sprouted overnight, if every act of obedience produced instant fruit. But you and I know it doesn't always work that way. You can pray faithfully for weeks and still not see the breakthrough. You can do the right thing and still feel like life is handing you the wrong results. You can show up, put in the work, and still wonder, is this even working? And that's the danger zone, because when results don't show up right away, quitting starts to look real attractive. When you're weary, the voice of doubt starts to sound reasonable. It whispers, what's the point? This ain't working. I'm wasting my time. That's why our key verse for today is a direct command for that exact moment. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The phrase become weary or lose heart comes from a word that was used of a farmer who was tempted to slacken his exertions because he had become so weary as a result of his prolonged efforts. And so he lost his motivation. I don't have to ask you, because I already know the answer. Many of you have either lost your motivation or you are on the verge of losing your motivation. And I get it. It's not that you're lazy or that you don't care. The phrase become weary or lose heart is used here for a reason. It describes the fatigue that comes from prolonged effort without seeing a result. It's the exhaustion that sets in when you've been doing the right thing for weeks, for months, even for years, and you still haven't seen a single green shoot. You get tired of praying with no visible answer. You get tired of sowing into a relationship that seems to give nothing back. You get tired of doing good at work when no one seems to notice. And when that prolonged effort leads to prolonged frustration, you start to lose heart. And it doesn't always happen with a loud crash. Sometimes it just quietly leaks out. You stop. You stop praying with the same passion. You still say the words, but the heart ain't there. You stop reading the word of God with a hungry heart, and it becomes more of a duty than a delight. You stop praising when things go wrong because you can't see the reason for it. The frustration doesn't make you quit all at once. It just makes you weary. And little by little, your motivation, your joy, and your hope leak out like air from a slow leak in a tire. And one day you look at your life and wonder why you feel so flat, why you have no spiritual momentum. It's because the consistent, quiet weariness has caused your hope to slowly deflate. Because I just knew God would do it this time. I just knew that prayer would get answered by now. I just knew that door would have opened, that healing would have come, that situation would have turned around. And when it didn't happen the way I thought, the slow leak of disappointment started to drain your faith. But here's what I've learned. Faith isn't proven in the moments when God does what I expect. It's proven in the moments when I have to trust him, even when he doesn't. Because resilient faith is forged in the fire of disappointment. It's built in the waiting room. It's developed in the seasons where you have to stand on a promise, even when there's no evidence of it. And Paul says to the church at Galatia, don't lose your motivation. And this is a good place to pause and ask ourselves, what motivates you? What is the engine that keeps you moving forward? Is it the promise of a harvest? Is it the dream of a breakthrough? Is it the hope of a breakthrough? Because here's a powerful truth. Paul's instruction is connected to the Greek word for good in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It's the word kalos. It means something that is not just morally good, but always beautiful, noble, and excellent. Paul isn't just saying don't get weary of being good. He's saying don't lose your motivation to do what is excellent. This shifts our perspective. Is your motivation to do good driven by what you hope to get? Or by the inherent goodness of the act itself? Are you praying because you want an answer or because it is a beautiful and excellent thing to be in conversation with God? Are you giving because you expect a return or because generosity itself reflects the heart of God? This is where persistence gets real, when your why is rooted deeper than what you get out of it. If my motivation is purely transactional, I'll quit the moment I don't see a return. But when my motivation is transformational, when I give because it's who I'm becoming in Christ, when I pray because I love his presence, when I serve because his love compels me, then I can keep going, even when I see nothing changing. Because persistence flows from purpose. If you don't know why you're doing good beyond what you hope to receive, you will always run out of steam. Now, don't get me wrong. The Bible is full of principles of God saying, if you do this, then I will do that. The Mosaic covenant with Israel, God told them in Deuteronomy 28, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come upon you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Obedience was tied to blessing. But notice, it wasn't just about getting stuff. It was about living in alignment with God. Malachi and tithing, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing. Yes, there's a promise of provision, but the act of giving was always meant to be an act of trust and worship, not just a financial transaction. Jesus' words in the Sermon on the Mount, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. The promise of all these things flows out of a life ordered around God's kingdom. not as a bribe to keep us coming back. Paul's encouragement in 2 Corinthians 9, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously, for God loves a cheerful giver. The reaping is promised, but the joy of giving is elevated above the harvest itself. So yes, God gives us plenty of if-then principles, but they were never meant to make our relationship with Him transactional. They were meant to reveal God's character and draw us into deeper trust. When your motivation shifts from I'll do this so God will bless me to I'll do this because God is worthy and I trust His heart, you can persist even when the blessing hasn't shown up yet. And I think this is a good place to help you move from transactional faith to transformational faith with this one line. Faith grows up when obedience stops being a payment and starts being a posture. Here's the truth. Your obedience ain't no down payment on God's blessings. Oh, if I pray enough, God will answer. If I give enough, God will provide. If I serve enough, God will reward. That's transactional faith. Faith that's always calculating, always looking for the return on investment. And transactional faith will always leave you frustrated because when God doesn't move on your timeline, you will think He's not moving at all. But transformational faith says, I pray because He's worthy, not because I'm trying to get something. I give because He first gave to me. I serve because His love compels me. It's a faith that's not trying to pay God back. It's simply living in response to God's grace. And when you stop treating obedience like a bargain and start living it like a posture, you can persist because your motivation isn't the harvest. It's the God of the harvest. Because if I can get God, I've already got what I need. If I can get His presence, I can endure the process. If I can get His peace, I can withstand the pressure. If I can get His joy, I can outlast the journey. That's why my motivation isn't just what He gives me, it's who He is. Because harvests come and go, blessings rise and fall. But the God of the harvest never changes. And when your eyes are fixed on Him, you can persist even when the ground looks barren. You can keep sowing when it feels pointless. You can keep praying when it feels silent because you're not working for a result. You're walking with a relationship. And that relationship will sustain you when everything else fails you, because when I'm weak, I'm walking with somebody who is strong. When I'm confused, I'm walking with somebody who is all wise. When I feel abandoned, I'm walking with someone who promised never to leave me or forsake me. When I'm tired, I'm walking with someone who gives rest to the weary. When I'm under attack, I'm walking with someone who is my shield and defender. That's why I can persist. Not because I have the strength to keep going, but because I'm yoked to the one whose strength never runs out. This is why Paul could say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Because in Christ, my weakness becomes the very place where His power shows up. And when you realize that, quitting stops being an option. You stop counting on your own ability to finish and you start relying on His ability to carry you through. There's 105 of you on this call and 32 of you are wearied out because you're trying to finish in your own strength. You're exhausting yourself because you're still under the illusion that this is all on you. But here's the truth. You were never meant to carry what only God can complete. Paul reminds us in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That means your job is not to finish it. Your job is to stay faithful to the one who will. You, ma'am, stop counting on your own ability to endure and start learning on God's ability to sustain. You, sir, stop trying to manufacture joy and start receiving joy from the presence of the Lord. You, beloved, stop trying to push your way through every battle and start trusting that the Lord will fight for you. Some of you are worn out because you're trying to be the author and the finisher. But that's God's title, not yours. So lay down the burden of being your own savior. Let God be God. And when we do, for in due time, you will reap if you faint not. Now, don't get me talking about due time, because due time is not random time. It's appointed time. And here's the thing about appointed time. You can't rush it. You can't manipulate it. You can't shortcut it. You can't negotiate it. You can't fast talk God into moving before his time. Due time is not just a delay. It's divine timing. It's the moment when God's wisdom says now, because everything is aligned. See, I don't like that that out of season fruit you buy at the grocery store because it's been forced, ripened in a system, in a warehouse, ripened on the outside, but it doesn't have the sweetness that only time and sun can produce. It looks good, perfect, but it doesn't taste right. It hasn't had time to develop the flavor, the nutrients, the richness that comes from growing in its proper season. And that's what happens when we try to rush God. We end up with something that looks like a blessing, but lacks the depth, the joy, and the endurance of a true God-given harvest. You rushed to the altar and said, I do, without letting God work on the both of you first, and now you're praying for patience you never asked him to build in you. You rushed into that job because the paycheck looked good, but you didn't wait to see if it was God's placement, and now you're asking him to give you peace in a place you were never supposed to be. You rushed to start that business because everyone else was doing it, but you didn't let him give you the wisdom, strategy, and timing. And now you're frustrated that it's not flourishing. You rushed to fix your own problem instead of waiting on God's solution. And now you're sitting in the middle of consequences you could have avoided if you had just waited on his timing. Because when you rush what God is still developing, you end up with a result that looks right, but doesn't last. That's why scripture says, be still and know that I am God. He's not asking you to do nothing. He's asking you to trust that what he's doing in the dark will bloom in the light at just the right time. All I'm trying to tell y'all is you can't hurry God. You just got to wait. You got to trust him and give him time no matter how long it takes. He's a God that you can't hurry. He'll be there. Don't you worry. He may not come when you want him, but you going to want him when he comes. In due time, you shall reap if you faint not. Do you know what that means? It means it can't not happen. But Pastor, the report is bad. It can't not happen. But Pastor, the deadline has passed. It can't not happen. But Pastor, I feel like I'm too late. It can't not happen. Because when God says at the proper time, you will reap if you faint not, he's not just making a suggestion. He's declaring a certainty. He's saying, if you stay faithful, if you keep sowing, if you don't give up, what I promise you is guaranteed to come to pass. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. So keep standing when you feel weak. Keep praying when you feel unheard. Keep praising when you feel unseen, because every seed of faithfulness you've planted has an appointment with the harvest. Oh, Lord. And the harvest don't miss appointments. And when that harvest comes, you will see why the wait was worth it. You will understand why he didn't come when you wanted him. You will look back and thank him that he didn't give it to you early, because you will realize you would have settled for less than what he had in mind. So today, let this be your declaration. I will not quit. I will not faint. I will not give up. My due season is coming, and it can't not happen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the reminder that you are a God of due time. We bless you because even when we can't see it, you're working. Even when we don't feel it, you're faithful. So today we lay down the burden of being our own Savior. We release the weight of trying to control what only you can handle. We trust that what you are doing in the dark will bloom in the light at just the right time. So, Lord, I lift up the weary this morning, the one who's running on empty, the one who's prayed 100 prayers and feels like heaven's been silent, the one who's sold in tears and is wondering if they'll ever reap in joy. Father, remind them today that you are not a person that you should lie. What you promise, you will perform. What you started, you will finish. What you planted in darkness will bloom in the light at just the right time. So strengthen their hands, Lord. Steady their hearts. Renew their hope. Replace their sighs with songs, their despair with determination, their weariness with wonder at what you are about to do. So, Father, cover their homes, protect their minds, guard their peace, give traveling mercies today, healing at doctor's appointments, and wisdom in every decision we face today. And when discouragement whispers, quit, let your spirit shout louder, persist. So I want you to repeat after me, everybody on the call, our declaration for today. I declare this morning that I will not faint. I will not fold. I will not forfeit, because God is faithful. And in due time, we will reap. Now shout it loud. It can't not happen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Listen, I pray that you were blessed by the call this morning. It can't not happen. That's the word. It can't not happen. I am praying for you as we move into the weekend. Remember, the devotional call is just Monday through Friday, Monday through Friday. And so we'll pick it back up on Monday of next week as we move into our final week of our fast. They say time goes fly by when you're having fun. And this has been a joy waking up every morning and spending our mornings together in prayer and in devotion. I'm praying for you today. I look forward to worshiping with many of you on Sunday for worship, whether in person or online. Be careful today. Be mindful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.